Now, good morning, you. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome. Do you welcome people to podcasts? Do you say welcome to the podcast? Maybe not. I hope you're well and thank you for downloading the podcast. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. It's me, Richie Allen. This is the Papers Podcast. It's Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. I'm sorry if I sound a bit bunged up. I have a miserable old cold. I've been sneezing pretty much all day yesterday. Started in the afternoon. My nose is blocked up now, so I'm a bit bunged up, but maybe you won't mind too much. I'll get through this in any case. Let's go to the front pages of the papers. The Sun, to start with today. China hack attack on UK. So, a lot of papers today talking about something that Oliver Dowden, the Deputy Prime Minister, is going to get into this afternoon in the House of Commons. And that is a claim that MPs and peers have been targeted by the Chinese, basically, and that a cyber attack in 2021, which reportedly saw China access the personal details of 40 million British voters, and that 43 individuals, including MPs and peers, were targeted. China is going to be officially blamed for this today. We'll talk more about that in a moment. China hack attack on UK government to punish cyber raid. That's The Sun. The Daily Telegraph. China and Russia behind slurs on princess. Iran is also blamed, by the way. We'll talk about that for sure in a moment. Number of papers, by the way, also going with a photograph of Catherine, the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton. And following on from last week's stories, the conspiracy theories, if you want to call them that, about her whereabouts. And then she released a video, didn't she, where she said that she is receiving treatment for cancer. And number of papers leading with a photograph of her, and also stories about how China, Iran and Russia were behind these conspiracy theories. Pull the other one, we might say, I might say. Also on the front page of the Daily Telegraph, free speech threat from climate of censorship. We might come back to that if we have a bit of time. The Financial Times, US and Japan plan security pact upgrade to resist China. More of the same. Chinese, the big menace in the Far East. And the Financial Times is reporting that the US and Japan are together planning to bolster their security alliance to counter what they claim is a growing threat from Beijing. The Guardian. The Guardian leads with the attack in Moscow at a concert hall in Moscow on Friday. You've probably been following this. In case you haven't, in case you've been on the moon for the weekend, four men have been charged in Moscow over an attack on a concert hall that killed at least 137 people. Now, what's very funny about this is who's to blame for it? The Russians say that there is Ukrainian involvement. The authorities in Ukraine, in Kyiv, say that claim is absurd, right? But Russia says, yep, it's Ukraine for sure. Ukraine sponsored it. But Western media agencies, the Reuters news agency, Agence France-Presse, Agence France-Presse, AFP, and the Sky and the BBC, they say that Islamic State has claimed responsibility for it. Now, I would suggest anybody listening to any of that, take it with a massive, massive pinch of salt. I don't believe the Russians any more than I believe the government in London or the government in Washington, D.C. They're all liars. So who carried it out? I don't have any idea. I think it's preposterous to claim that Islamic State was behind it. I think it might be equally preposterous to claim that the Ukrainians were behind it. Who benefits, ultimately, is the question that people should be asking. And I can't answer that right now. But this happened, of course, Friday. And was it Thursday night or Friday? The Russians have named four men that have been arrested and charged. Video evidence was pretty much widely available on the internet over the weekend, or not video evidence, but video of this attack. So there you go. So that's The Guardian. Suspects appear in court accused of Moscow attack as it left 137 dead. The I, UK's nuclear defence boost to protect against Putin. Again, more of the same. The UK is prepared to spend £760 million to modernise the country's nuclear deterrent to boost the country's defences to guard against the threat from Vladimir Putin. There isn't any threat from Vladimir Putin. There isn't any threat from China. And there's certainly no threat from Iran. That is my opinion. This is horse manure. I'll talk more about it in a moment. Daily Mail, Royals will come back stronger, is the headline. Okay, and this is about the King and his daughter-in-law, both of them being treated for cancer. As the Daily Express, King's Easter message of unity and hope to nation. That's a preview of the upcoming Easter message from the palace. The Express describes it as one of unity and hope. The Daily Mirror, pubs call time at 8 p.m. Pubs are closing as early as 8 p.m. to save costs, to save on costs, staff and energy bills. We will definitely come back to that. And the Metro headline is a weird one. £14 billion United Kingdom, instead of Kingdom, Kingdom. £14 billion quid United Kingdom. It's a story basically that about the fact that despite there being a financial crisis and a cost of living crisis, people in the UK gave a record £13.98 billion, just under £14 billion, to charity last year. People are kind and generous, even if they're struggling themselves, according to the Metro. That's nice. The Times, Russell Group gets most of its fees from overseas. So the Russell Group is one of the UK's leading universities, or the Russell Group of the UK's leading universities, is becoming increasingly reliant on overseas fees. Dozens of institutions like Oxford and Cambridge, among them, now get most of their cash from foreign students. And finally, the Daily Star, headline, Daily Star joins the gold rush, is the headline. The Star says it has joined treasure hunters searching for the El Dorado of the seas. That's a shipwreck off the coast of Cornwall, which is said to contain billions of pounds worth of gold. There you are. Okay, those were the front pages of today's papers. Now let's have a look inside. Right, having a quick look inside as I bring them up here. You're listening to the papers. It's 6:20 in the morning as I record this. It's a mild one here in Salford. A bit of rain forecast. Low pressure in the north west of the country today. We're expecting some rain and some unsettled weather for the next couple of days. Now, The Guardian. Thousands of foreign nurses a year leave UK to work abroad. So The Guardian says around 9,000 foreign nurses a year are leaving the UK to work abroad amid a sudden surge in nurses quitting the already understaffed NHS for better paid jobs elsewhere. The rise in nurses originally from outside the EU moving to take up new posts abroad has prompted concerns that Britain is increasingly becoming a staging post in their careers. The number of UK registered nurses moving to other countries doubled in 1 year between 2021 and 2022 and 2022 to 2023. That's to a record 12,500 and has soared fourfold since before the coronavirus pandemic, according to The Guardian. 7 out of 10 of those leaving last year qualified as a nurse somewhere other than the UK or the EU, often qualifying in India or the Philippines. Many had worked in Britain for up to 3 years, according to research for the Health Foundation. Now, the vast majority of those quitting are heading to the US, to New Zealand or Australia, where nurses are paid more than in the UK, sometimes up to almost double. And unsurprisingly, The Guardian reports, experts are voicing their alarm about these findings, saying that the NHS is already struggling with about 40,000 vacancies for nurses, and it is hugely reliant on those coming from overseas. Basically that the UK is now losing out in the global recruitment race. And they quote, the Guardian quotes Dame Anne Marie Rafferty, a professor of nursing studies at King's College in London. She says it feels like the NHS is falling down the league table as a destination of choice for overseas nurses. Now, without knowing too much about this, I'm guessing that the nurses are fleeing. They're not fleeing, but they're leaving the UK. I mean, the US, we know the US doesn't have a national health service. I can't really speak for Australia or New Zealand. I don't know if either of those countries has a similar health system to the UK. But in countries where there is no national health service and, you know, people have to pay for their own healthcare or use a medical insurance or they have to buy medical insurance or health insurance, I'm guessing that's why the salaries would be much higher in those countries. That would be my guess. I don't know. It's an interesting one, though. That's in The Guardian. Nurses who came here from overseas, worked here for a couple of years, are leaving in their thousands for countries like the US, for Australia and for New Zealand because they are paid as much as double as they are in the UK. And that is further bringing further pressure to bear on an already creaking National Health Service. That's in The Guardian. Now, this one is interesting. It's on some of the front pages today. China and Russia spreading slurs against Princess of Wales. Now, I believe this to be horse shit, and that is my opinion. Only my opinion. You might see it differently. There may be proof to support this, but I don't reckon we'll ever see any proof. The Telegraph story, China, Russia and Iran are fueling disinformation about the Princess of Wales to destabilise the nation. I mean, that's absolute crap, isn't it? How can they say this stuff and not laugh out loud themselves? How can they say it with a straight face? This is the government, right? And as I said, Oliver Dowden later on is going to deliver this, you know, verdict to claim that officially, once and for all, we're going to blame a cyber attack that took place in 2021. We're going to blame it on China. He's not going to offer any evidence, of course. You know, senior government figures fear that hostile states are behind the spread of wild conspiracy theories and online rumours surrounding the princess's health. Again, crap. Prove it. If you're going to make these claims, prove it. But of course they don't. They never prove it, you know. It's just take our word for it. After she announced her cancer diagnosis on Friday evening, Rishi Sunak led the condemnation of social media trolls for targeting her online in recent weeks. Now, I know a lot of people on Twitter who are various truthers, and they extracted great mileage out of this Princess of Wales theory. You know, the idea that there was a sinister reason why she hadn't been seen or heard from in 3 months. Now, I didn't pay much attention to it because I don't care too much about the royal family. But the idea that some of these truthers, now some of them are complete idiots, right? Truthers in the UK, truther industrial complex. But the idea that they're somehow being, you know, put up to it by Russia or China or Iran even is absolutely ridiculous. It's beyond the pale, really. A government source told The Telegraph, part of the modus operandi of hostiles, I love this hostile states bullshit, like, you know, you as a British person or as an Irish person are supposed to believe that China, Russia and Iran are hostile to you and to your ambitions, you know, and represent some sort of threat to us, to our way of life and to, as I said, to our ambitions. You know, you as a person, you know, Russia and China and Iran is out to interfere with you, with your life. It is crap. It's the same crap we've been listening to for 60 fucking years. The same nonsense, okay? Imaginary threats dreamt up by politicians, you know, with solutions, which are always, you know, one way or another, are always about limiting or inhibiting your freedom. Your freedom online, or your freedom to travel, or your freedom of speech even, you know. It's crap. As The Telegraph says, Downing Street is preparing to announce fresh sanctions on China today after a wave of state-backed cyber attacks against a group of senior MPs and Piers, as I said already, Oliver Dowden, the Deputy Prime Minister, will say today that China was behind a hack on the Electoral Commission last year when the personal details of 40 million voters were accessed. They're going to blame it on China and say that China have been hacking MPs and peers. They're going to offer no proof of it whatsoever. It's just more nonsense. Here's even more nonsense. Express: France raises terror threat, wait for it, to attack emergency, the highest level due to ISIS threat. So post September the 11th, post the 7th of July false flag, because it was a false flag attack in London, pretty much every country now has got a terror threat chart, right, where it's colour coded usually, and each colour corresponds to a level of threat. So what level of threat are we at today? Well, today it's amber. It's never green, by the way. It's never don't worry, go about your business, nothing is happening. It's never that. It's always that a terror threat is possible, or a terror attack is likely. The French have raised theirs to the highest they've ever raised it. Attack emergency. The French Prime Minister Gabriel Attal announced this yesterday, saying authorities were taking into account the Islamic State's claim of responsibility for the Moscow attack and the threats weighing on our country. So again, this is more fear-mongering. And this is what governments do these days. They fear, they peddle fear and imaginary threats, okay? Basically, how do I phrase this? To convince the population that they are living in a state of permanent terror threat, and therefore you must do as we say, as we want you to do, and you must take whatever measures we decide to bring in to deal with this terror threat, however draconian they might be, you'll just shut up about it and get on with it. That is essentially what is going on here. I mean, you've got to remember the great Adam Curtis, right, who made the documentary series The Power of Nightmares, wasn't it? Adam Curtis, do you remember the opening salvo of that? Do you remember?
In the past, politicians promised to create a better world. They had different ways of achieving this, but their power and authority came from the optimistic visions they offered their people. Those dreams failed, and today, people have lost faith in ideologies. Increasingly, politicians are seen simply as managers of public life. But now, they have discovered a new role that restores their power and authority. Instead of delivering dreams, politicians now promise to protect us from nightmares. They say that they will rescue us from dreadful dangers that we cannot see and do not understand.
Rescue us from deadly dangers we can't see or can't understand. Now, I think the mistake Curtis made in his brilliant series of films was that he believes that this idea to promise to protect people from threats, imaginary, invisible threats, in order for people to go along and do what they're told, the idea that this has come from politicians or political parties, I believe he's wrong. Politicians and political parties are way, way down the trough when it comes to the global power structure. This is coming from somewhere else, in my opinion.
And the greatest danger of all is international terrorism, a powerful and sinister network with sleeper cells in countries across the world. A threat that needs to be fought by a war on terror. But much of this threat is a fantasy, which has been exaggerated and distorted by politicians.
It's a fantasy, exaggerated and distorted by politicians to force people into acquiescing to ever more draconian standards of life. You know, introducing draconian rules and regulations and laws, encroaching on people's personal freedoms year in, year out. They've been doing it for decades. They're doing it today. Vladimir Putin is a fucking thug. Xi Jinping is a fucking thug, as is the Ayatollah and whoever happens to be the president of Iran at the moment. I can't remember his name. But they're no different than the thugs that are currently inhabiting the White House in D.C. and number 10, They're thugs. They are foot soldiers. They are foot soldiers for an agenda. They're not the architects of the agenda. They carry it out on behalf of another party. The yet to be seen in public party. You know, the elite, some people call them. So they're all the fucking same. You know, you don't believe any of them. Whether it's Russia saying Ukraine did the attack on Friday, whether it's the Western media agencies and government saying it was the Islamic State, I don't believe a word any of them say. People are being herded around like cattle and like sheep by these foot soldiers, these managers of public life, but managing it on behalf of who and what. These shadowy power figures, most of us don't know who they are and what their names are. And their names are not Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, because they're foot soldiers too. It's that that's the thing that we've been striving to try and figure out for decades on programmes like this. Who are the people? Who are those managing and manipulating politicians into managing and manipulating the public with their horror stories about climate change and terrorism and other invisible threats that they use, as I said, to herd and move around populations all over the world into doing what they're told? Right, nonsense, nonsense. And the fact that the French would go along with this, that you wouldn't laugh out loud at governments with their colour-coded terror charts, it's fucking preposterous. And yet it succeeds. It drives me mad, as you can probably hear. The Times. Product placement on moon offers giant leap for advertising. It's interesting, this. I don't believe any man ever walked on the moon. But again, that's just my opinion. But there's a race to get back to the moon now. And the lunar rover manufacturer has opened up a new horizon in the battle among household names to be at the forefront of innovation, the moon. Astrolab, a Californian startup formed by a team of NASA veterans and former SpaceX engineers, will send a Flex Rover, its Flex Rover, to the moon 2 years from now after signing a deal with Elon Musk's rocket business to transport it. And they've signed a deal with Group of Humans, which is a network for creative professionals, to offer businesses the chance to test and to advertise their products on the lunar surface. So there you are. They can carry a massive amount of weight, apparently. So they're saying that companies like Volvo might seek to, you know, place their car on the moon to advertise it there. Lego might lay a keystone toy brick for the base, you know, some base that they might build on the moon. Or Nike might develop footwear for a low gravity atmosphere. It's very interesting, this. There are no high resolution photographs from the lunar surface, are there? Are there? Or am I wrong? I might come back to that on a show, on the Richie Allen show. So that's in the Times. The Mirror, exclusive, pubs begging for help as cost of living crisis forces them into drastic measures to survive. So this is the big story in the Mirror. It was the front page story in the Mirror too. Publicans pleading for help as the cost of living crisis, rising energy bills force them into drastic measures to stay afloat. Our investigation, says the Mirror, found some pubs close at 8 p.m, do not sell food, or shut altogether on the quietest days to save on staff and energy costs. A poll of British Beer and Pub Association members found one third of pubs had reduced their hours due to high costs. And the British Beer and Pub Association boss, Emma McClarkin, told the Mirror, they've been grappling with a multitude of challenges. The decision to reduce hours is not one pubs want to make. It's a survival strategy in an unsustainably tough environment. The government must act to support pubs to alleviate these pressures and to ensure the local remains at the heart of our communities. They also quote the Mirror, the chairman of the Campaign for Real Ale, a guy called Nick Antona. He says pubs are swimming upstream against challenges such as escalating costs of goods and employing staff, sky-high energy bills, the burden of unfair business rates, and customers tightening their belts. Last orders at an earlier time is preferential to the pub, to the pub even closing its doors for good, and the local community losing its central hub. Now, the British Beer and Pub Association has revealed to the Mirror that 509 pubs shut for good last year, and this year 750 will shut by June. Labour's leader Keir Starmer has pledged he will help pubs if his party wins the next election. He told the Mirror last week, once a pub closes, it's rare for it to open again, and you lose that space. There are a huge number of jobs tied up in pubs. It's horrible, this, and I won't dwell on it because I talk about it a lot. It is horrible. Pubs are closing everywhere. It is difficult to find a pub in Salford. There is a pub on Eccles New Road. Eccles Old Road. There is no pub on Eccles New Road. If you look at Google Maps, you know where I'm talking about. Liverpool Street in Salford, there is one pub the entire length of the street, which is a couple of miles long. Pubs are disappearing at the speed of light, and it is the most dreadful, awful thing. It's terrible for communities. But then again, if you believe that there is an agenda for humanity, this is part of it. It is deliberate. They are deliberately destroying everything that we used to hold dear to us. You know, places where we would gather, where we would congregate, where we would share the news, where we would watch sport, listen to music, you know, be together. Not living online, talking to each other over Twitter and over Facebook, but actually spending time in one another's company. And there's so much the pub does in the community. I'm not going to get into it because A, it's too obvious, and B, I've done it to death. It is horrible, this. It really, really is horrible. And we go out at the weekends. We take the dogs out. We pop into a pub. And they're apologetic in pubs when they're charging you. We were in a pub on Saturday. And I had a pint of Guinness. The missus had a ginger beer. She doesn't drink. And we were charged £8.20 for it. It's absolutely fucking horrendous. And as the guy was serving me the drink, he said, "I'm really sorry about this. We can't help it because of the squeeze being put on pubs. Energy prices, business rates, staff costs. No help whatsoever from the government. We're basically hanging on by a thread." I said, "Okay, you know, fair enough. But you're not likely to sit down and have 3 or 4 drinks, are you? And chill out for a few hours. When you're being charged £8.20 for a Guinness and for a ginger beer. Anyway, it's terrible." I was going to do one from the Telegraph. There's an anti-woke story in the Telegraph about an archdeacon, a woman called the Venerable Miranda Threlfall Holmes. She's the Archdeacon of Liverpool. She's called for anti-whiteness, basically. How has she done that? Well, she tweeted it out. She said, she went to a conference on whiteness. It was very good. A conference on whiteness. What sort of fucking conference is that? Very interesting. It made me realise whiteness is to race as patriarchy is to gender. So yes, let's have anti-whiteness, said this woman, this white woman, this Christian, and let's smash the patriarchy. And then she went on to say, it isn't anti-white or anti-men. It's anti-oppression. Fuck off, love. I know it's not a very Christian thing to be saying to an archdeacon, but fuck off, love. You know, you moron. Absolute moron. Anyway, what's the BBC news website reporting this morning? Well, it's reporting on the attack in Russia and the charging of 4 men. It's reporting on boats, small boats crossing the channel and how nothing is being done about that and never will be done about it. It's reporting on Jewish settlers who are determined to build homes in Gaza. The Jewish settlers who want to build homes in Gaza. This is a report by Orla Geeran, who's an old hack. Orla's been around for many, many years. And so we know about the genocide in Gaza. We know all about that. We have our opinions as to why and what the desired outcome is. For this massive loss of life, 35,000 people killed, 15,000 children dead. It's horrendous, right? And Orla Geeran is reporting on Jewish settlers who are planning to move to Gaza immediately to claim land there and to build. It's illegal, but it's never stopped the Zionists before, has it? So that's the BBC News website today. That's it for the papers podcast then. Thank you for listening to it. I appreciate you downloading it. I really do. A little bit later on today, I've got a very good show lined up for you, so don't miss it. The Richie Allen Show airs 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Thursday. And as I've said a million times before, if you can, please do download the app for the programme. If you're in the UK or Ireland, sorry, if you're in Ireland or if you're outside the UK, it might ask you to, it might tell you it's not available in your territory. It is. Just use a VPN and you'll be able to download it pretty simply. Those were the best of the papers. Today, Monday, the 25th of March. Have a decent Monday. Until later, from the BBG, it's bye now. Sláinte tomall.